In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon texts are our readings from Ezekiel 37, 1 Thessalonians 4, and Luke 24. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's okay to be sad. It's okay to grieve the loss of your beloved husband, father, grandfather, great-grandfather, family member, and friend. It's okay to reminisce and to miss all the times and stories you shared with Elmer, times and stories of his time growing up in Montana, working sugar beets and construction with his uncle, or service in the National Guard, his desire to make a living and provide for you, his family, his time in mortuary science school, his building and establishing a successful funeral home business that has blessed Lidgerwood, Hankinson, and Wahpeton for over 30 years with Elmer's personal and professional funeral services. It's okay to spend time reminiscing about Elmer's favorite hobby of golfing. I know that you will even miss hearing of his numerous adventures and the wonderful times he had with Marilyn as he traveled all over the United States during Elmer's time in the North Dakota Funeral Director Association and Board. I am sure you will even miss how, on a moment's notice, Elmer could slip into conversational German. I know that I will miss this, and my monthly visits with Elmer around coffee and Marilyn's delicious baked goods. Not only is it okay to be sad and to grieve, but you don't have to stop or get over it already, here and now today. Grief isn't bad in and of itself, though it can be if it consumes you and your whole life in this world. But it doesn't have to be. Because you, today, as Saint Paul says, may not grieve as others who do not have hope. It might not seem that way here and now, as the body of our beloved Elmer lays before our eyes. But I ask you, as a Christian, as one who bears the mark of the cross on his forehead and on his heart, the same thing I asked Elmer when I first came and we were chatting about a funeral he was helping Kevin with. What do you make of this body? Is it just a casing or a shell, as much of the world thinks that it is? Is it something from which he is finally free? Or is it everything? Which would mean Elmer's death is the end. There are a few things, as Christians, that we, like Elmer, must confess about this body. First and foremost is that it's not nothing. For if it were, why would you miss his smile? Or his hug, or his laugh, or the sound of Elmer's voice. All of these things belong to and are unique to Elmer's body. Our Lord created this body in his image and after his likeness, and having done so, he blessed it and declared it to be good. This tells us that the body isn't nothing. It's not just a shell or something to be freed from. But it reveals the very image and likeness of God himself. Of course, the body wasn't meant to die. Death is not natural, no matter how many times you are around it. It wasn't created to lay horizontally in a casket, but to stand upright before the face of the living and one true God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But something happened to the body that has caused it to wear down, to decay, to be susceptible to corruption and even death itself. And that is sin. Every thought, every word, every action that we have which is contrary to God's will and his law. And St. Paul tells us that the wages of sin is death. It is only at the point of sin that Adam and his wife realized that they were naked. Before that, they had no shame. Now they can't cover it up quickly enough. And we do the same. We're ashamed of our bodies, of our weakness, of our inability to do the things we want to do. Marked by this sin and corruption, we spend our lives covering it up. We make excuses for all the stupid things that we do and say in this life, all the sins that we commit against our fellow brothers. We lie, we cheat, and we hope someday to get it right, but we are poor, miserable sinners. And while the body does reveal the image and likeness of God, it also now reveals our failure, our weakness, our frailty, even our own mortality. It is what you saw over the past couple of years where Elmer struggled to walk a long distance without losing his breath. It is what you saw in his failing heart valve. It is what you saw when, after returning home from his hospital time, he struggled in weakness even to get out of bed. And it is what you see today. Remember, O man, that you are dust, and to dust shall you return. But it is exactly for this reason and for this moment, it is exactly for this body, for Elmer, for you, for me, that our Lord Jesus Christ came down in holy love from heaven and became flesh. God took on a human body, one with hands and feet and mouth and nose, eyes, lungs, and a heart. And he was born of Mary and he laid in a manger. That's Christmas. That's what we just celebrated in the incarnation of our Lord Jesus. This is Jesus for you. God entering into a body, taking it to himself, and joining himself to you. And if that's the case, we as Christians cannot say the body is nothing. For our Lord Jesus has joined us in the flesh. What's more, our Lord took his body into the waters of holy baptism. He suffered hunger and thirst and exhaustion of sleep. He gave his body to whips and thorns and spitting and the back of a hand and ultimately under Pontius Pilate to suffer on the cross. And having suffered all, even death itself for you, he gave his body into the grave for Elmer, for you, for me. But that is not the end either. If it were, then we would be left where we started, in despair, in grief, in sadness, in mourning. But as you hear from St. Luke's Gospel, the body that our Lord Jesus Christ took to the cross is the same body that was raised up in glory from the grave. As the women proclaimed, as the women heard proclaimed in their ears, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen." And as he himself said to his disciples, "Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." It was in his body that Christ defeated death, that he trampled down death by his own death. and it was in his body that he rose victorious over Satan and over death itself. It was in his body that he brought sin and corruption to an end, and life everlasting to light. It was in his body that he freed all bodies, including Elmer's, from the guilt of sin and from the very sting of death. Jesus, in his resurrected and glorified body, then appeared to the apostles and the disciples and over 500 witnesses at one time. And after 40 days being raised from the dead, he ascended in his body to heaven before their very eyes, and now sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty in glory, never to die again. Death has no dominion over him. Now, you might be wondering, what does any of this have to do with Elmer? Well, you're looking at him, aren't you? And you might be looking at him with sadness and grief, that of which we spoke of earlier. And that's okay, because grief is just love with no place to go. It's love that wants to be given and love that wants to be shared but cannot, at least not yet. And this is the point. We do not grieve as Christians, as those who have no hope, as if this is the end, as if love can no longer be given. For Christ has died, and Christ is risen. And because of Jesus, about this moment, about this funeral, about his own body, Elmer himself confessed throughout all of his life, during our monthly visits, and especially during our last visit together in the hospital as his health was failing. He confessed, "I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Amen." So when we look at Elmer's lifeless body, we do not look at a case or a shell or nothing that's just simply to be disposed of. No. We are looking at a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we see the very husband, father, grandfather, great-grandfather, family member, and friend, and saint of Holy Cross, who will be raised up in glory at the last day. For behold, God says in the book of Ezekiel, "I will open your graves, and I will raise you from your graves, O my people. I shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it," declares the Lord. And as St. Paul writes in his letter to the Thessalonians, "For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who now sleep." That's Elmer. He's with Jesus. And through Jesus, God will raise this body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subdue all things unto himself. For in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trumpet, our Lord Jesus will return in his body, and he will raise our bodies, this lowly body, Elmer's body, from the dust and the ashes. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up with them who have already died in faith in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so that we will always be with the Lord. And then Christ will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more mourning, no more suffering, pain, sin, or death. The old will have passed away, and the new will have come. That is Elmer's hope. That is your hope, because this is your Jesus. And this is his promise to Elmer and to all who believe in him. Christ has spoken, and he will do it. To him be glory forever. Amen.